Catholic identity, and equipping all Catholics to take co-responsibility for Christ Church.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm Sandra McDevitt. Today on Stories from the Heart, the charming story of a monk who is celebrated for his beautiful voice, especially when singing the Salve Regina hymn. Therein lies the dilemma. Could he remain humble while having all those accolades of praise? Stay tuned for his story of Father Fabian's predicament and the beautiful hymn, Salve Regina. Fabian was in a predicament. Reputed to be the best chanter, and that too in a monastery renowned for its gifted chanters, in the entire Cistercian order, he was wont to intone the psalms of the divine office with such devotion that the faithful would come from far and near to hear him. When his sweet and powerful voice rang out above the voices of all the other monks at Compline, as the Salve Regina was sung, it seemed that Our Lady's praises were being sounded by no mortal tongue, but by a burning seraphis strayed from heaven. As the words, O Clemens, O Pia, O Dirtus, Virgo Maria, were reached, even the Lord Abbot, a hard-headed, unemotional man, was often seen to brush a furtive tear away, while most of Father Fabian's brethren found by experience that it was wise to bring to the choir and tuck in the corner of their miserere an extra handkerchief to hold to the streaming eyes. As for the devout faithful who filled the nave of the Abbey Church, when Vespers and Compline were chanted, so moved were they by Father Fabian's celestial voice that the soft plush of their tears on the stone pavement could often be distinctly heard. Now the quandary Father Fabian found himself in rose from the fact that he was quite as remarkable for his winning humility as for his melodious chanting. The prestige his abbey enjoyed, he could not avoid realizing, was chiefly due to his beautiful voice. On his account, throngs came, he knew, to hear even the little hours chanted, and many a dying noble, as Father Fabian was well aware, had left his rich legacies to the monastery, under the express condition that no one should sing the Requiem Mass but he. Now, keenly as this giftless assertion delighted in proclaiming God's praises in the choir and at the altar, his passion for practicing holy excesses in the virtue of humility was quite as strong. His heart was often nearly rent in twain, for example, by his zealous desire to chant the office as perfectly as possible, and by an opposing impulse to sing false notes, and even break down utterly, just to merit penance, reproaches, and disgrace. A third element, moreover, added to the complexity of Father Fabian's problem. It was a closely guarded domestic secret that the reason why the brethren of this monastery, and particularly Father Fabian himself, sang so well, was because they had growing profusely in their garden a rare variety of beans that made all who frequently ate of them superb singers. That all kinds of beans are good for the voice has been a matter of common knowledge ever since the days of Pythagoras. And in monastic parlance, a bean-eating chanter was the highest praise you could give a melodious monk. No one ever better deserved to be called a bean-eating chanter than Father Fabian, whose very name indeed delicately suggested beans. For he was accustomed, with sole object of improving the strength of the quality of his voice, to confine his meager diet wholly to the monastery's peculiar crop. Unhappily, however, he found their variety of that useful vegetable a singularly appetizing and nourishing dish. So the difficulty poor Father Fabian had in keeping his motives sufficiently pure and lofty, as he thoughtfully ate his dole of beans, was, as may be imagined, exceedingly great. For, on the one hand, he knew by experience that the beans he took today, the sweeter and stronger would be his voice in the choir the coming night. But on the other hand, the dish was so very gratifying to the palate, and so productive, alas, that Father Fabian's spare and austere appearance was rapidly becoming a thing of the past. What was, of course, worse, the temptation to indulge in the deadly sin of gluttony was a daily peril to his soul. In his hunger for humiliation, Fabian would have welcomed the first mentioned result of his diet of beans, for his heart rejoiced at the thought of being unjustly considered an unmortified religious. But that a monk who had renounced, as he had done, all the luxuries of life at a ducal court should now succumb to the enticement of a mere dish of beans was truly deplorable. What was he to do? Forswear beans forever, and let the quality of his magnificent voice gradually deteriorate until the pious faithful no longer came to hear the divine office chanted, and dying grandees ceased to remember the monastery in their wills? Or should poor Fabian continue his perilous diet while his soul grew leaner and leaner, and its perishable tenement waxed increasingly fat, until the day at last dawned when this unworthy son of St. Bernard would yield like a craven to the sin of gluttony and greedily devour his mess of beans simply for their own sake, and with no pretense of thereby making his voice a fitter instrument for singing the divine praises, thus far worse than Esau selling his very soul for the paltry dish of beans. At this point, most unfortunately, the chronicler of the Cistercian Order's annal breaks off his narrative, and it is nowhere recorded how the sorely perplexed Father Fabian got out of his predicament. Perhaps he discovered a path of compromise that enabled him to preserve not only his heart-moving voice and purity of soul, but even his renown for monastic austerity. Let us hope so. But history is strangely silent about Father Fabian's subsequent career. Everything's got a moral, if only you can find it. But just what lesson we should learn from the foregoing fragment of the Cistercian Chronicles is not so clear. Though few of us nowadays are ever placed in a quandary precisely like Father Fabian's, nevertheless, the ancient war between the flesh and the spirit is going to instill in all of his family, and in the highly complicated life of our modern world, duties come into violent conflict far more readily, of course, than they did in the simpler, heavenly-facing 13th century.
Send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us, and after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's story, Father Fabian's Predicament, was written by Father Walter Dwight from the book The Saving Senses. The Salve Regina was by Robin and Robert Coaches. For a copy of this or any of my stories, email Sandra at AveMariaRadio.net. Stories from the Heart is recorded at the studios of Ave Maria Radio. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the